Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From our Gospel reading, in those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." This is our text. Jesus was baptized. What is that to us? Some think that the purpose of Jesus' baptism was to serve as an example for us. Their argument goes like this: Jesus was baptized, so we should be baptized too. In addition, Jesus was baptized as an adult by immersion, they say, so we also should be baptized as adults by immersion. For some reason, they don't take this to its logical conclusion, that Jesus was baptized when he was about 30 years old by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, so we should be baptized at about 30 years old by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, too. You can see how their argument fails entirely. It's impossible for us to be baptized the way Jesus was. Just as impossible as it is for any of us to be Jesus. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that his baptism has nothing to do with our baptisms. In fact, the baptism of Jesus has an awful lot to do with holy baptism. But it's not the reason that we baptize. We baptize because Jesus commanded us to do it. He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We also baptize because of the promise that Jesus gives. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And because we desperately need the forgiveness of sins, the rescue from death and the devil, and the eternal salvation that are found in baptism. The promise is for us and for our children. And so we bring our children to Jesus that he might take them in his arms and bless them too. Jesus' baptism is different because of who Jesus is. He is true man and true God. Let's start with the true man of Jesus. To enter the water and to be baptized, he had to be a real human being, composed of a rational soul and human flesh. Baptism requires a body. And so Jesus came in a body that he might be baptized for us and for our bodies. And Jesus is like us in every way except for one. He has no sin. He has a real human nature, but not a sinful human nature. And this is what makes his baptism different. All the other people who were coming out to John the Baptist in the wilderness, the people of Judea and Jerusalem, they were seeking John out for baptism, all of them confessing their sins. They came because John proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You see, it was for them, it was their sinful nature that drove them into the water. But Jesus had no sin to confess, and he had no need of forgiveness. So why is he baptized? Why is Jesus in the water? For one thing, the baptism of Jesus reveals who he is. Just like the star revealed Jesus to the Magi, so baptism revealed Jesus to the people of Israel. At his baptism, we see that this man is also God. God of God and light of light and very God of very God, as we say in the Creed. The heavens were torn open, showing that Jesus comes from heaven. The Holy Spirit descended on him, showing that Jesus is the one on whom the Spirit rests. He has the Holy Spirit without measure. And a voice came from heaven, the voice of God the Father, saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased," showing that Jesus is the very Son of God. God's Son, not by adoption, not in name only, but by nature. And here we see all three persons of the Holy Trinity gathered around baptism and involved in that baptism of Jesus and in everything that Jesus does. As the beloved Son, he comes to do the Father's will, and he is led by the Spirit. This includes his temptation in the wilderness, but it also, which is right after his baptism, but it also includes his ministry of preaching and of healing and his suffering and dying. All of this he does as the Father's beloved Son, and all of this he does as the one on whom the Spirit rests. So the baptism of Jesus reveals him, and it leads to everything that follows. He now enters his ministry. He begins the journey that leads to the cross. He comes to save his people. As he goes to the Jordan River for baptism, we can already look ahead with him to what comes after. We see ahead of Jesus the season of Lent. This year, Ash Wednesday is on February 17th. We see the suffering that awaits him. And then beyond the horizon is Good Friday on April 2nd and the resurrection of our Lord on April 4th. These are the things in front of Jesus as he goes to the Jordan River to be baptized. This is where he is headed. He is baptized into this death and resurrection. Or you might say that at the Jordan River, he is marked as the perfect Lamb of God, the Lamb for sacrifice, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. But back to Jesus in the water. I've said that his baptism does have a lot to do with our baptisms, and yet I've said that it's different than our baptisms. The baptism of Jesus and your baptism, is they're like two sides, opposite sides of a coin. Jesus gets heads, and you get tails. He enters the water alive and comes out to die. We were brought to the water dead and came out alive. How can baptismal water do the great things that Scripture claims that it does? It's because of what is in the water. The benefits of baptism are there because Jesus is there. And I don't just mean at the water of the Jordan River, but I mean at the water with which you were baptized. The benefits that you received in baptism, you received because Jesus was there in the water. He puts the gifts into the water. They came in with him. He's like the filter through which the water runs, you might say. He attracts the filth and the pollutants to himself, and he purifies the water for us. Because of Jesus, baptism is a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of all sin. Another way to say it is this: Jesus is the one who puts the promise into baptism. And we are the ones who receive the promise out of baptism. What's good for us is bad for him. He lets our sin wash over him, and we watch our sins wash away. He goes to meet death and the devil from his baptism. We are rescued from death and the devil. He suffers eternal condemnation and is damned, and we inherit eternal salvation. You see, Jesus was baptized not just to be an example for us, but he was baptized to be our Savior. And we are baptized to be saved. We don't need to be baptized like Jesus. What we need and what we have is baptism with Jesus. Because through baptism, Jesus identifies himself with us sinners and with our sins. This is part of what Martin Luther called so beautifully the great exchange. Jesus is there in the water with all the people who came confessing their sins, and it's as if Jesus is there in the water confessing their sin to. Not confessing their sin in the way that you and I like to confess other people's sins, pointing them out and drawing attention to them. No, Jesus is there in the water confessing their sins as if they are his own. He takes the sin of the world on his back, and he carries that sin all the way to the cross. Because Jesus is in the water, we are baptized with Jesus. And being baptized with Jesus is what makes baptism so marvelous. It means that the things that happened at Jesus' baptism also happened at your baptism. The Spirit of God hovers over the face of the waters. The voice of God, his word, thunders over the waters. The light shines forth in holy baptism. When there's a baptism, or as you remember your own baptism, you might well wonder which day it is. Is it the first day and the beginning of a new creation, the Spirit hovering and God speaking and light coming forth? Well, in a way it is the beginning of creation. But it's not so much the first day of creation as it is what we might call the eighth day, the day of resurrection, the day when Jesus rose from the dead. That's the day of your baptism, the beginning of a new creation in Christ. This is the reason baptismal fonts are marked often in the shape of an octagon with eight sides, to remind you not only of the first creation with its 6 days and seventh day of rest, but then of the eighth day when Christ rose from the dead. You are baptized with Christ, baptized with him into his death and also into his resurrection. In baptism, our old sinful nature has been put to death with Christ, and we rise to walk in newness of life. And to be baptized with Jesus is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So you can be assured of this, that the Holy Spirit who rested on Jesus is the Holy Spirit who also has descended to you in baptism. And to be baptized with Jesus is to be beloved of the Father and well-pleasing to him. So we don't need to have any doubts about how God the Father views us or thinks of us, because he says it in baptism. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Not because of anything that you have done, but because of everything that Christ has done. This is the comfort and this is the confidence of baptism. Now, in the collect of the day that we prayed earlier, we asked that God would make us faithful in our calling as those who are baptized. What have we been called to? We have been called to an inheritance of eternal life. One of the great joys that we have as Christians, and I hear many of you say it from time to time, one of the great joys that we have is that we know what lies ahead. We are not uncertain about the future. We may not know what tomorrow will bring, but we do know what will come in the end. And that's something that we ought to hold on to in these times that may feel uncertain and tumultuous. We may not know where things lead here and now in this life, but we do know where we are headed. The inheritance belongs to us through baptism. We are also called sons of the Father. This means that we are children of the Heavenly Father. It means that we have a Father in heaven who hears our prayers and invites us to pray to him. In these times, it can be difficult to know what to do, if there is anything at all that we can possibly do. But there is one great treasure and gift that we have. The world may not recognize it. They may count it as nothing, but it is the gift of prayer. We have access to the throne room of God. So let us make use of this gift, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We must remember who we are in these times, that we are those who have been baptized with Christ. We are those whose sinful nature has been put to death with Christ, and we are those who live with Christ. Do not forget your baptism, and do not forget that Jesus is there in the water with you at your baptism. And do not forget what lies ahead for you as a dear and beloved baptized child of God. And indeed, we have this promise from Jesus, that even as Jesus came out of the water, and even though his path went through suffering and death, The Father raised him from the dead on the third day. So you also can be assured of this. No matter what suffering, no matter what pains, no matter what sorrows have been behind or may still lie ahead, there is a promise of resurrection in the end. There is life, and there is joy, and there is peace beyond. Heaven is already open, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, through your baptism, and the day is coming when we will see that opening of heaven fully. May God grant that we remain in our baptisms, and may he preserve us in this calling until Jesus comes again. In his name, amen.